Right. As I said, I'm the vicar at St. Mary's in Ecclesfield. I moved there about 3 years, in fact, almost exactly 3 years ago now, from Liverpool. And when we moved in, things in the house started breaking down. The first thing that broke was the washing machine. That actually broke twice, and then the insurance company replaced it. The tumble dryer was the next to break. Then the telly, then the kettle. Then I broke, I used to have two garden trimmers, I don't have one now, I broke the other one last week, but I broke the first one the first week we moved in. The reality is that when you go and buy something, it isn't actually meant to last for very long. Because if they made trimmers that would last you forever, you'd only buy one and they'd go bust. So they make them with a planned life. So let's see what we think. If you buy a new car today, how long do you reckon it's going to last? Anybody? 10 years? That's a bit pessimistic. 10 years? I'd want at least 15 years out of a new car. Okay. Right, a pair of shoes. I've worn Doc Martens since I was 15. I have four pairs of Doc Martens. Black boots and black shoes for work. Cherry red shoes and cherry red boots for my day off. Now, my work shoes, I once bought a pair of Clarks and they lasted me a year. I get about 3 years out of a pair of Docs, so I wear Doc Martens all the time. What about, let's have a think, fashion. I don't know a thing about fashion. How long does fashion last? About a week. Yeah, fortunately, my wife's only slightly more into fashion than I am. So I reckon that I'm stylish rather than fashionable, and there's a difference. Okay, what about a house? If you buy a new built house today, how long before it falls down? 200 years? But look, if it lasts 100, okay. Are you a builder? Right, okay. Right, okay. What about this church? When was this church built? About 150 years ago? Yeah? Okay, so how long before this church falls down? 500 years? It won't. I tell you what, one day it will. They said that about the Acropolis in Greece, and look at it now. One day this church will be a pile of rubble. It might be 600 or 700 years, but it will happen. What about the earth? It's not going to fall down, but how long before the earth isn't here anymore? Does anyone know? Last time I read anything, I think it said in about 4 billion years, we're going to basically crash into the sun and everything on planet Earth will be vaporized. 4 billion years. And even the solar system itself, that's going to go. And the universe, there's two theories on how the universe is going to end. One is called Big Crunch, when everything comes together, because the power of gravity overcomes everything else, and it all goes down to what's called a singularity, and then there's nothing. The other theory says that the power of gravity won't be strong enough, and everything will just eventually be just spread out so that every atom will be separated from every other atom. So there is a trendy name for it, like Big Crunch, but I can't remember what it is. So anyway, even our universe one day will be here. So I want to ask you one other thing. Okay, so what about, is this, can I borrow Rosa? Hello, Rosa. Right, okay, so hello, what about Rosa then? What do you think? Hello, beautiful. You're going to give me a kiss? No, you're not, are you? You want to go back to your mother? Okay, because there are actually two schools of thought about human beings. The first school says that we are just a meaningless, random collection of atoms brought together by chance with no purpose or meaning beyond the roughly 70 to 90 years that we're going to live on this earth. We come from nothing, we live for a few decades, and then we disappear into nothing. Okay? That's one school of thought. Second school, I've just cheered you all up, haven't I? You're all glad you got out of bed on Sunday morning. The other school of thought, the Bible, says something very different. It says that our lives are not random or meaningless. It says that we were made by God for a purpose that isn't just for this life, but is eternal. The Bible says that we were made not for 70, 80, 90, 100 years, not even for 1,000 years, but for eternity. Which, if that's true, it means that when this church is a pile of rubble, when the earth is vaporized, when our star, the sun, supernovas, and when our universe no longer exists, then Rosa and you and I will still be alive. We were made for God, says the Bible, and that means we were made for eternity. And that's actually important. It's about who we truly are. Because if you believe that you were only made for a few decades and then nothing, that will affect your values and how you live your life. But if you believe that you were eternal, made by God, created by a good God, with a purpose for your life, then that will also affect your outlook on life, your values, and how you live your life. And that difference between those two understandings of what it means to be human is at the heart of that story that we heard read from Luke's Gospel. Story of two sisters, Mary and Martha. They live in a village called Bethany, and the family live there, and Jesus is passing through and he stays there because they're friends of his. And he's teaching the crowds. He's probably in the courtyard of the house. He's probably sat in the porch under the shelter of the porch above him, and the crowds have gathered round outside the door of the courtyard. Mary and Martha live in a society which has real expectations about their roles and their responsibilities. So if Jesus and his disciples and the crowds have gathered at their home, then as the women of the house, their job is to feed and care for the men. Isn't it nice that things have changed for women in society, eh? Yeah, well, maybe in our house, not in yours. That's what everybody would expect Mary and Martha to do. They were doing the cooking, the cleaning, getting things ready, looking after the people who were more important than them, the men, according to what their society said. And Martha did that. She spends her time cooking, cleaning, fussing around, getting everybody right, but Mary doesn't. She wants to listen to Jesus because Jesus is talking about God, about God's kingdom, about who we are, and who God calls us to be. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven touching earth and changing us. For those who have ears to hear what he's saying, Jesus is telling them the secret of life itself. And Mary doesn't want to miss out. Mary does not want to miss out. So she does something that wouldn't just be seen as unconventional. She does something that would actually shock her neighbors and her sister. She sits at Jesus' feet and listens. She adopts the role of a disciple. And she does it in a culture which says that only men can be disciples of a teacher. She's risking her reputation and her relationship with the rest of her family in order to become Jesus' disciple. Martha is concerned with the busyness of life, with doing her job. She accepts her place, but also she complains to Jesus about her sister, and she expects Jesus to send Mary back into the kitchen, but Jesus doesn't. You see, if Jesus is right, if the Bible is right, then there is nothing on earth more important than our relationship with God. If we are made for eternity, then most of the things that we worry about and fret about and work for are not all that important. They matter, but they don't matter eternally. Mary's risking, as I say, a relationship with her sister, with her social standing in her hometown, but she's living now for eternity. There's nothing wrong with what Martha is doing, fulfilling her social role, doing the cleaning and the cooking and everything, except that in doing it on this occasion, she might well be missing out on eternity. She might well be missing out on the kingdom of God. Jesus came to tell us that we are God's children, that we were made for eternity. And he came to call us to live as God's children here and now, to live as citizens of heaven, if you like, here on earth. And the call to live an eternal life here and now is what baptism is all about. When I baptize Winter and Rosa, I'm going to put the sign of the cross on their forehead. I'm going to baptize them in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will declare that Jesus died, not just for the world, not just for everyone, but that Jesus died for you, for me, and especially today, for Rosa and for Winter, who we're going to christen. And at the end of the service, we're going to present those who've been baptized. We're going to present Rosa and Winter with a candle. And that candle is a reminder that we are all called to live in this world in the light of God and bring the light of God into the places where we live, into our relationships, our homes, our schools, our places of work, into the places where we go. The light of Christ is to shine in us and through us into this world. We are to live in this world as people who belong to God's kingdom. We are to let the light of eternity shine into our lives and through us into the world, so that the light of truth and love and hope begin to shine more brightly in this world where we live. All who are part of Christ, all who are baptized into Christ, are called to be people of compassion and mercy and love and hope and truth. All who have been baptized into Christ are called to live today and every day of their lives for eternity. And that means that at a baptism service, I always say it's an opportunity for everyone else who's been christened. It might have been, I was christened, I think about 52, 53 years ago. I'm not entirely certain. I know you can't believe it. You must have all been thinking it was only 25 years, but there you go. Time has been kind to me. But it's an opportunity for all of us, no matter when we were christened, to ask ourselves the question, what am I living for? Am I living as somebody who's going to live for 70 or 80 years? Or am I living as someone who's going to live for eternity? Am I living now as someone whose life has no purpose or meaning, or someone whose life and purpose, whose life has purpose and meaning in God? The answer to that question will shape our values and our lives. It will shape our souls. And ultimately, it will shape our eternal destiny. Jesus came to tell this world that God isn't just a force or a power, but that God is also a father. The word that Jesus used for father is Abba. It means dad. A dad who loves us more than we will ever understand, more than we will ever know. And the God who loves us, the God who is our dad, calls us today to live as his children, to do it today and tomorrow and for the rest of our lives and for eternity. Amen.